Good morning. Welcome to the service this morning. I'm glad to see you here. We're grateful for our visitors. Trust that you can be at home with us and worship with us. This morning starts a bit of a new chapter in the Elkhart Church. They were meeting Sunday mornings, the first Sunday morning, which is today. And it was decided, and I'm not sure if I gave this report or not, but it was decided that we would meet there as well on the third Sunday morning, beginning in March. So first and third Sundays, they will be having services up there, and Colliers will, of course, have moved there, and they will attend those services when there are services up there. But we will continue to rotate as a ministry on the first Sunday. So Brother Lyle is preaching up there this morning, and Colliers, of course, are there as well. And they are beginning to meet in the club building starting today. And so let's just be mindful to pray for the church up there. The Lord would give direction and wisdom, and that He would prosper the work, and it would be for His honor and for His glory. I would like to read from Scripture, and there's the ones on the wings are a bit sparse, perhaps, but I would like for this group over here, on my right, I would like for you to turn to Romans 12, verse 13. That's the only verse that you'll have to read. Then this group right here, I would like for you to turn to 1 Timothy 3, verse 2. And then the group here would turn to Titus 1, 8. And then the group over here on the left, you'll have to read loud because there's not many of you. You read Hebrews 13, chapter 2. And then I will read 1 Peter 4, 9. Relatively short verses, so it's not going to take a whole lot of time. So if you would now, over here, just all stand to your feet if it's convenient for you. And you read Romans 12, 13. Maybe Larry, you want to lead out. Okay, let's go to this group, if you could stand, please. And read 1 Timothy 3, 2. And Arlen, would you read out, please? Okay, you may be seated. Next group could stand, please. Titus 1:8. Ryan, would you lead out? Wrong verse. Titus 1:8. Did I give you the wrong? Which one is it? But? Does it start with but A? Okay. Are you there, Ryan? Okay. Okay, thank you. Now the group on the left, Hebrews 13, verse 2. Verlin, would you want to lead out? Everybody stand and read that together. Wrong verse. Okay, you may be seated. Last verse is found in 1 Peter 4, verse 9. That's where I'm going to take my message title from. It says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this blessing to meet again on this Sunday morning. We're grateful for your presence. We pray that the Holy Spirit would even now be poured out on myself and on the listeners here, that what is preached and spoken would be a correct interpretation of the Word, and that we would be able to grasp and to comprehend. We could be alert and understand what the Lord is saying to us this morning. We pray for the group in Elkhart. You would bless Lyle as he preaches there this morning and be with them in their service. We think this morning of Ken and Brenda and their family as they'll be meeting. And Brother Ken, as he preaches, no doubt, we ask that you would be with them as well. And we pray for the group in Belize this morning, for Myra. We pray a blessing on their worship time there and the person, the minister that preaches there. We would also pray for Daryl and Kendra and their service, their family, as they worship in where they're the service that they're having this morning. Be with us in our Sunday school time. Bless us as we share the word. We ask that we could honor you today in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What do you think the topic is this morning? The message title. Hospitality. And I just, the word hospitality is used only four times in the New Testament. In the one in Hebrews 13:2, it says it's the same Greek word as the one in Romans 12:13 to entertain strangers. That's the same Greek word as this is translated hospitality. So I would like to look at, of course, the concept appears often. Even in the Old Testament, we know, especially one striking example is when Abraham was out and he noticed some strangers walking along a path, and he went to them and he insisted on them to come to his house. And I was impressed. This important man, Abraham, how he attended to, it says, their needs. He gave them the best of what he had. Just a very good Old Testament example of hospitality. So, the concept is there throughout Scripture and taught specifically in the New Testament. And obviously, I would say hospitality is a character trait of a Christian. Something that God wants us to be. And I would like for you, I'm going to use the passage from 1 Peter where it says to use hospitality. Now, when you use something, I think of a tool. You use it to accomplish what you'd like to do. You can't really do as good without using the shovel or the tool that you have in your toolbox. So, I think we are to use it. Use hospitality. So we're going to look at several different aspects here. I'd like to the question that I'd like to look at first is what are we supposed to use hospitality for? I read a while back the story of a man over 40 years ago. A young boy from New York City spent part of several summers with a Mennonite family on the farm. I remember those programs. They called them, I think, Fresh Air. When I was a boy, you would hear of that. A city boy coming out and spending time in the country with Mennonite families. And recently he made this comment, and it was significant. He said, "You have no idea how my time with your family has shaped my life and my beliefs." Just being there and observing Christian people. Not all of our hospitality brings such tangible, positive feedback. That shouldn't keep us from being hospitable. God knows, only God knows how many times we have planted a seed that someone else watered and brought to harvest. And I think of that even when we're doing work as a church. We're going to Westville. Last Sunday, I preached at Westville. And you know, there may not be tangible response there, but the seed is sown. When we minister in Elkhart, street children, to the people in Elkhart, the children of Elkhart, we don't know what the effect will be. Sometimes not for many, many years, but we're called to do that. A number of years ago, I was coming home from a minister's meeting. Every 2 weeks, the ministers meet at 6 o'clock at Napanee, usually. And we were finished, and I was heading home, and it's right during corn planting time. So I was a bit of a hurry to get home. And here on State Road 19, further south a ways, right stopped right on the street was a car sitting there. So I pulled up next to him, and I asked him what his problem was. And he said he was from Salt Lake City. It was south of Ira's there on 19, as I recall. He said he was from Salt Lake City, and he had no one to call, and he was out of gas. Car ran out of gas right there in the middle of 19. So I offered to go get him gas, and I drove to my house, which was approximately 8 miles round trip. I thought I was really coming to his rescue, and I should, you know, God should really honor this, and I was going to make a good impression on him. And I got 2 gallons of gas, and I prepared what I was going to say to him, how, you know, this is free, and I could do it gladly because I'm serving Jesus. And I had that all mapped out, how I was going to do that. And I poured gas into his car, and he took off so quick that I don't even think he said thank you. And so I was wondering, you know, was that an angel unaware, or was, if it was, he was kind of an ungrateful one. So do we do those things so we get patted on the back, or do we do it sincerely out of our love for Jesus Christ? 3 points I'd like to look at this morning. Hospitality, number one, hospitality, what is it? Number two, hospitality, who and where do we show hospitality? Number three, hospitality, for whom and why? Number one, hospitality, what is it? Well, the first thing that comes to my mind and might come to your mind when you think of hospitality is being invited to someone's home or inviting others into our homes. We enjoy that. However, you define hospitality, it cannot be separated from relationships with other people. That's what hospitality is. It develops relationships. We get to know people. That's why, one of the reasons why we do it. The two Greek words that are used here, one of them is a noun in these 5 verses that we read earlier, and that is philoxeia, and the other one is philoxeia in us, os, which is, the one is a noun, the other is an adjective. The one is a noun in Hebrews 13:2, where it says to entertain strangers, and then in Romans 12 it uses the word hospitality, and then the next one as an adjective is found in the other 3 passages, and it means to, the one passage in Timothy says given to hospitality. That means that's something that you do. It's a part of who you are. The other one says in Titus 1:8, it says a lover of hospitality. And then in Peter it says use hospitality. So it's three different concepts perhaps there. And this Greek word comes from actually 2 Greek words. The first one being philos, meaning loving, dear, fond, friendly. That's the first meaning of the first part of the word. The next one is exos, meaning foreign, a guest, stranger. So put those two together. And in Vines, the Greek dictionary in Vines, the noun form means to love of strangers. Includes idea of entertaining strangers, friendliness, fondness of guests. And then in the Amplified Bible, the adjective form means showing love for and being a friend to the believers, especially strangers or foreigners. And it also, that adjective includes such words as generous, cordial, welcoming, and open. So that's kind of the meaning of hospitality. Hospitality is more than inviting people into our homes. That is hospitality, but it's more than that. It begins with God's love in our hearts, which then opens our hearts, our hands, and our homes to serve others. Genuine love motivates hospitality. You know, Jesus told the disciples, freely you have received, freely give. One minister said, hospitality is a major but neglected strategy for reaching the lost. Hospitality is a major but neglected strategy for reaching the lost. Number two, hospitality, who and where. In Romans, the verse in Romans 12, verse 13, when it's asking the question, who are those that are to practice hospitality, it's talking to all Christians. All Christians are to practice hospitality. So just note that. It's not just this person or that person in the church, but all are to practice. He says that given to hospitality, that's all believers, all of his children. It is especially important qualification for those that we choose to ordain. Both verses in Timothy and Titus, it says not only to be given to hospitality, but also to be a lover of hospitality. So when we look at a person qualified to be ordained, it should be a person that is given to hospitality. It's one of the qualifications given, and he's to be a lover of hospitality. He's not a very good person to ordain if he's not hospitable. It's one of the qualifications. Just note that. Everyone can be hospitable, married or single, male or female, at home or away from home, in a small apartment or in a large house. Hospitality is first an attitude we carry with us. So we can be hospitable away from home. It's an attitude we have in our hearts that's put there, I think, by Jesus. I recently read of a teacher who was retired, and she remembers an eighth grade student who greeted her with such animation and sincerity and gave her such undivided attention the short time that they talked that she felt highly honored. Eighth grade student. She called him an eighth grade version of hospitality in action. So you students, do your teachers fondly, will they fondly recall you as being that kind of a person or that kind of a student? Another example I have is a minister and his wife were out of state visiting, and they were kind of hard up. They weren't very well to do. Once on the Sunday morning, they were spontaneously invited for lunch by a student couple. Husband and wife, young married, were going to school. So you know the funds were limited if you've ever gone to school. And they had even less money. They had little to offer. So here they were, virtual strangers, and they decided to accept the invitation, and they thoroughly enjoyed their warm fellowship. And it was in a small, sparsely furnished apartment. And they said they dined sumptuously on hot dogs. That's hospitality, true hospitality. Some people use the excuse, well, someday we'll have more room. We don't have sufficient room. You can be hospitable with what God has given you. Don't wait till someday when you can offer something other than hot dogs. Offer what you have. Do it for the glory. Don't be embarrassed. Live within your means. Never try to be, don't be embarrassed of what God has given you. Offer that. So they learned the true meaning of hospitality. When I go shopping, I'm usually with Esther, or I go for her. Who would want to go shopping? Just because of anyhow. So usually I go shopping because it's a necessity that I go, either with her or I go for her. Not always. And usually I'm somewhat in a hurry. You know, shopping isn't the most efficient use of time, in my opinion. So I already, when I'm in the last aisle, I'm eyeing the checkout counters to see which one is going to get me through the quickest. Spend quite a bit of time assessing the situation before I head for there. And just as I see there's hardly any waiting there, someone cuts in front. Have you ever had that happen? And or the line you get into, there's a question mark. There's a question about a price tag, and it just takes forever. And it's really easy for me to get impatient. When we're in a hurry, we become rude in our rush. Maybe that doesn't tempt you. It's a problem I have to deal with. Or maybe even just this morning on our rushing to church. If you were late, maybe somebody's poking around in front of you. And sometimes we honk or we rudely, or you just zip around them and cut in and just, wow, you guys are slow here. You need to get on the ball. So, but hospitality, on the other hand, notices needs and reaches out to meet them, even though it may require a few extra minutes. And I've tried to work on this. When we're about to have our shopping carts, you know, collide, I will try to back away and said, go first. You know, it actually feels blessed to be in that situation. When you just relax and say, you know what, that's the thing to do. Show hospitality. And oftentimes persons will, wow. You know, they're trying to get out too in a hurry. And when you do that for them, I think that shows them the love of Jesus. Just a small way that we can do that. Thoughtfulness and courtesy are an integral part of being hospitable. Use hospitality without grudging. Another example, one retired couple lived in a new housing development, and so they would bake homemade bread, and they would, or maybe a plate of cookies. And whenever someone moved into the development, they would come to their doorstep and welcome them and give them a gift of this homemade cookies or bread. And there were even different nationalities that were in that development. So they had opportunity to reach out and to show the love of Jesus by just some small things that you could do for your neighbors. How about here at Sandy Ridge? We have some students here that are going to Grace College. That's an opportunity to show hospitality to them, to interact with them. We've had it over the years. There's been different people here that have maybe been teachers at United Christian School, not from the community, but chose the church here to attend regularly. Those are opportunities for us to befriend those people and to reach out to them, to show them that you care, and then to be able to build relationship with them. Of all the ways to express hospitality, inviting people into our homes is one of the most effective. to show hospitality, to use hospitality. We're using it as God designed it to be used. Our homes are not to impress others, but to serve others. Let's remember that. The food we serve is not as important as our ability to make guests feel welcome and comfortable. Number three, hospitality. For whom and why? We belong to God, and if we see ourselves as stewards of His possessions, we will want to use our resources, including our homes, for His kingdom work. Just think about your visits to other people's homes. What did you experience there? How did you feel when you left? Were you encouraged? Were you refreshed? Were you inspired? That should be the goal that we have when we entertain people in our home, strangers, people that are visiting here in church. You know, communities have vastly changed in the last 30 to 80 years. Where it used to be neighbors neighbored together, it seems like neighbors no longer know each other or visit together. How many of your close neighbors, if you have close neighbors, do you interact with on a fairly regular basis? I have to confess, we try, you know, we wave, we honk, but we're so busy heading out for something to do that we don't get the job. We don't really interact with our neighbors like I think we should as Christians. Kind of have our own life. You know, we like to fellowship together, but do we care about our neighbors that live next to us? And unfortunately, it can happen in the church today as well. One psychologist called it crowded. People are experiencing crowded loneliness, especially I think with the texting that we can do and the being on Facebook and so on. People are apparently lonelier than ever, even though they're constantly on the social media. They are surrounded by people but lost in the crowd. And I think we've experienced this here as a congregation over the past, that people have said, you know, some have said that we're kind of in a larger group, people kind of slip through the cracks. We have the tendency to think, and I've experienced this, when we visit small congregations, just about everyone comes up to you after church and either invites you or says hello to you. In a larger church, you can almost have very few do that. I've been at churches that it seemed like it was pretty rude. When the service was over, everybody was out the door and you were kind of left there and wondering, well, what shall we do? Let's not let that happen here. Make it your responsibility when you see a stranger or someone visiting church to make yourself known. You can't always get that done, but make a special effort to use hospitality. What about those attending here? We have quite a few that have maybe a spouse has moved in, married someone here or in this community, and they have no one in this community. They have no relatives in the community. They have no relatives in church or the surrounding community. And on holidays, what do? Let's pay attention. Use hospitality for those. We like to do our thing. We like to have just family. We like to just think about ourselves too often. That's not what we're called to do as Christians. This shouldn't be, you know, when our families are together, it should be normal for us to have those that have nowhere else to go. That's how we show hospitality. That's how we show the love of Jesus. That's a testimony to others. And I'm not I'm talking to a congregation that does very well in many of these things. I'm just reminding us how that we should be living. What about the widows or the widowers or the singles or the elderly among us? Let's be sure to have them, to show hospitality, to use hospitality to them. I was struck recently by, when we were in Belize, I heard a pastor preaching, and he asked the question, who were Jesus' friends? Who were the guys that he hung around with? Well, of course, he was with his disciples, but where do you see Jesus? And the verse in Luke 15, verse 1, it says, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Those were the ones that Jesus felt comfortable being with. He wanted them to come to him. Are those our friends? Are those the ones that we want in our homes? Our non-Christian neighbors? Do we invite them? Do we use hospitality? Fellowship is important for both guests and hosts. Jesus loved fellowship as well. We see him going into the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. We are social beings, and mingling together in our homes helps to satisfy our need to relate to others. Use hospitality. We are, it says in Scripture, to provoke unto love and to good works. And that's a good place to do it when we are together in our homes. It is a time to get acquainted, a time to help newcomers move past being strangers to the warmth of friends among friends. Do that to those that are relatively new among us. Befriend them. Become one of their friends. There's nothing like sitting among friends and having fellowship. Don't be exclusive. Don't just invite your best friends, those we always hang out with. Invite others into that group that you like to fellowship with. Those that are the strangers among us. Our home should be open to provide physical comforts or necessities to people that have needs. Christians should not have any problem finding lodging when we need lodging. You might say, well, we're not set up for visitors, or we have no extra rooms. You know what? That's what happened when Jesus was born. There was no extra room. What about your bedroom? Wouldn't we have done that for baby Jesus? Our home should be open for evangelism, and that's what happens when we use hospitality. Do we invite our non-Christian neighbors? I think of Matthew in Scripture. He invited a whole houseful of publicans and sinners along with Jesus. One person testified, I came to his door, not a Christian. I went from his door on my way to becoming a Christian. What an opportunity we have to use hospitality. Let's consciously, intentionally, look at that and say, look, I could use this as an opportunity to help someone on their way becoming a Christian. The verse we read in Hebrews 13, verse 2, it says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Friends, would it make a difference to you if you knew that that person beside the road was actually an angel unaware? Would that make a difference? Aha, I better pay attention here. That's an angel unaware. Would that make a difference? if you knew that, to what you would do. Well, if it would make a difference, I'm afraid you're flunking the test. In closing, I'd like to read from Matthew 25, if you want to turn to that. Starting in verse 34, it says, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Verse 35, For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me." The setting here is the judgment day. You know, there's another part to this story as well, where he says, I don't know you, but here are the ones that are, and they're puzzled. Verse 35, I was a stranger and you took me in. And they puzzled, they say, when? We didn't see you. Of course we would take Jesus in if we would see that it was Jesus. Of course we would feed someone if that was literally Jesus. But you know, that's not, we don't have that opportunity because Jesus ascended to heaven. Look at verse 40, the last part, it says, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Now, a question I have, when I want to leave with you, who are the least? Who are the least? They're not the prominent ones. Who are those that are least? When you befriend, when you supply the necessities, when you have that person and you help meet his needs and you're friendly to him, Jesus says, you're doing that to me. That's me, he says. That's what happens when you do that. When you show it to the least, you do it for Jesus. Let's kneel for prayer.